Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who are the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. We just invite your presence here to come and meet with us, to come and speak to us, God. And I pray that you would lift up our spirits, God, this morning, Lord, just to praise you, to be near you, God. I pray that you would come and speak to your people today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me read that to us once in the NIV version. I find it's a little easier. So just listen to it as I read it, and then I'll kind of explain what Paul is saying in this passage. Verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So I guess if you just listen to it one time, it would be difficult to get everything in. But apparently in the Greek, when Paul was writing this letter, this whole passage, verse 3 to 14, was one long sentence, right? One long Greek sentence. So he's trying to say something through this sentence. And I mean, I'm not a Greek expert, and I'm not a scholar in any sense, but I wanted to just kind of break it down for us in terms of how I understand it. So what Paul is doing here is he's describing for the Ephesian church what God has done in their lives, their spiritual situation that they're in, their spiritual status, so to speak. So what God has done in their lives, and he wants them to realize the amazing things, the incredible things that God has done, and to give him praise for what God has done. So he begins by saying, praise God. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So he praises God, number one, why? Because he has blessed us. Number one, God has blessed us. I'm saying us included in the Ephesian church. As Paul's speaking to the church, it's clear that he wasn't just writing for the Ephesian church, but this letter was meant to be read to other Christians in the surrounding region. So he's saying, praise God, because God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Number two, he chose us. Praise God, because he chose us before the creation of the world to come into his kingdom, to be made holy and blameless, to become his sons, to receive his redemption through his blood. So praise God because he has blessed us. Praise God because he has chosen us in him before the creation of the world. And praise God because he has revealed to us the mystery of his will. He's revealed to us the mystery of his plan for the future, his end time purpose, which is to bring everything under Christ, to bring unity to all things under Christ. Right? That's the NIV wording, that God wants to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So that's the mystery of his will, and Paul's saying God has revealed that to us. With all wisdom and understanding, he revealed to us the mystery of his will, which is to bring unity to all things under Christ. So praise God for that. And then from verse 11 to 14, what Paul is saying is from verse 11 to 12, he's saying, talking about himself, we, when he says, in him we were also chosen. He's talking about himself, and I think what he's talking about is Jewish believers. Because then he will go on in verse 13 to say, and you also were included in Christ. So he's talking to the Gentile believers in Ephesus, saying, you are also included into this amazing plan that God had for us. But in verse 11 to 12, he's talking about the Jewish believers, and he's saying, God has chosen us. He has predestined us to come to know Christ and to put our hope in Jesus Christ. And then from verse 13 and 14, Paul is saying, and you also, the Ephesian believers that are Gentile believers, non-Jew, and he says, you are also included when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. And it talks about the role of the Holy Spirit, who is given to us as a pledge, as a deposit, guaranteeing that one day we'll receive a glorious inheritance in heaven. All right, so that's kind of the summary of what Paul is saying in this short passage, kind of explaining to the Ephesian church, hey, this is what God has done. It's an amazing thing that God has done, and we should praise God for it. And he's kind of describing the spiritual state or the status that they are in. So this morning I want to focus on two incredible truths from this passage. I think Ephesians is full of these incredible truths that I think I just missed it. I think when I was just reading it, I would just read past it and not even really think twice about it. But as I have been memorizing, Tyler's back there, so I've been memorizing Ephesians. And as I've been memorizing it, these incredible truths seem to stick to my mind more. So I just want to share with you these two truths that I think really it should shock us. You know, it should encourage us so much. And I think we just glance over so easily. So the first part is verse 3. We have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The NASB says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's an incredible statement, that we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. I think first thing we need to note is that he says these are spiritual blessings. I think many times Christians, we come to church and what we are asking from God is material blessing. We get so stuck on, when we talk about the blessing of God, oh, I've been so blessed. We often talk about material things. When I was on my way to Singapore on Saturday, I was running late. Not because I was lazy, but because I was with my youth group students for their Philippines mission trip training, so I was with them and I tried to stay with them as late as I could. My flight was at 4:30. I was told to be at the gate by 3:50, and around 3:10 is when I left church to take the airport express. So I was like, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to make it. So I was texting my wife, and I mean, I made it. Hong Kong airport is so efficient. So I made it, and I think from the time I got out of my airport express, got to my gate, it took me about 5 minutes. So it was so fast. I had to run a little bit. But anyways, I was texting my wife, and I'd say, oh, I made it. And she was like, oh, you have favor. Favor from God. I was like, maybe. In the back of my head, I was thinking, if I get business class upgrade, then I have favor from God. And guess what? As I was going through the gate, they scanned the ticket, and the machine beeps, and he says, excuse me, sir. And then he gives me a new boarding pass, and it's business class upgrade. So I was like, wow, I am really favored. You know, and I was thinking, wow, God blesses me so much. And then on the way back, back of my head, I'm thinking, oh, maybe God will bless me again. But there was nothing. So I sat in economy for the return flight. But that's how we think. We think if we get something, oh, God has blessed us. But when we don't, it's like, oh, where's God's blessing? And we get fixated on getting material things. And that's a silly example, but we do this, right? Financially or maybe in career. Like if we're promoted or if we're doing well in work or if we're successful, then we say, oh, God has really blessed me. But the truth is, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of whether we have material things or not, or whether we get successful businesses or not, we have every spiritual blessing from God. That word every, I looked it up in the Greek, and it often is translated all, or the whole, or every kind of. So he's saying, you have received every kind of spiritual blessing in your spirit, so it doesn't matter whether I am upgraded to business or not. I can be sitting in economy and realize, man, I have received everything in my spirit. And we think material blessing is what we want, but material blessings are temporary, right? Material blessings, they come and go. They're fleeting. If we get it, it's good for a moment. It doesn't last. Spiritual blessings are what lasts, right? Our relationship with God, having favor in the Lord, having His love poured out into our hearts, and you know, being lifted in our spirit through His kindness, His love, revelation of who He is, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the mind of Christ. These things are eternal, and they have far more. They last, right? They last for eternity. And God says, I have given you every spiritual blessing. So, you know, I can be sitting in economy thanking the Lord and saying, God, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for your amazing, incredible, every spiritual blessing that you have given to me. And you know what that means is our spirit is never in lack. Right? Because He's given us all the spiritual blessings. He's given us every spiritual blessing. I mean, we probably have to meditate upon that and really think about what that means. But at least I can say, yeah, our spirit is not in lack. Our spirit is full. Right? God is not holding back His blessings. He says, I've given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So we do not lack anything. We're not dependent upon our circumstances. Whether we have a lot of money or success, we're successful, or whether we have good relationships or not, we're not dependent upon that to rejoice in the Lord and to thank God for His blessings, because what we've been given is spiritual blessings. And God says, I have given you everything. Our spirit is full. Sometimes I think we need to declare something as true before we can really live that out. Before we can really experience it and believe it and live it out, we need to declare this as true. So when I was a little bit younger, there was a time where I kept messing up before the Lord, and I felt really horrible about myself. And I would tell my brother, and my brother said to me, "said Nate, you just need to declare the truth of God that you are forgiven." So I was telling him, but I don't feel forgiven. And Matt said, I'm not saying you should declare that you feel forgiven. I'm saying you need to declare that you are forgiven. So I was like, well, that makes sense. So I started declaring, you know, 1 John 1:9, GIC, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So I said, I am forgiven, right? I would declare to my soul. And then the feeling of forgiveness came. Eventually, I could say, I feel forgiven. But I had to declare the truth. And I think sometimes we live in this weakness or we live kind of defeated. Maybe because of our circumstances, maybe because of our situation, and we feel we're defeated or we're in lack or we're weak or we're timid or we're living in fear. But we need to declare ourselves, no, I am blessed. I have God's every spiritual blessing. I am blessed. I am full in the Lord. My spirit is full. I do not lack anything. And maybe we can live in a bit of power, you know, and strength and encouragement. We're encouraging ourselves and saying, even though I don't feel like I'm doing very well, I don't feel very close to God, I don't feel the river of life, you know, flowing out of me, I know and I can declare that I have God's every spiritual blessing, that there is nothing that's lacking, and my feelings will follow as I declare this truth. And the second thing, the second incredible truth is the next verse. He says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. That's another incredible statement, that before we did anything, before God created anything, that's crazy. Before anything ever existed, he knew you and me, right? He knew me, and he said, I choose this person to become holy and blameless in my sight, which means to be justified, right? To be justified through the work of Jesus Christ. I've chosen this person to be justified, to be saved, to be forgiven, and I have predestined him to become my son, right? To become my daughter, to become my son, to become my child. And so you just have to think about that, that you were chosen before the creation of the world, that God chose you. You know how everybody wants to be chosen, right? We all have a desire to be chosen. We've done, we've done church choirs before, and some in the past, sometimes it's very open to everybody, and other times it's very exclusive. And whenever we do anything exclusive, it's always a little awkward telling people about it, because everybody wants to be chosen. They're like, oh, choir, cool. And we're saying, yep. And there's no like invitation to join. It's exclusive and it's done. We formed our choir, so sorry. But everybody wants to be chosen for something. Everybody wants to be chosen in their team. Everybody wants to be chosen and said, you are the one. And we all long for that kind of experience. And yet here God says, God chose you before the creation of the world. God chose you. He knows you. He knew you. And he chose you to become his son, become his daughter. Pastor Benjamin, you know, tells that story of his friend Peter Ha and how his father, he was in a coma because of a stroke. And then Peter had been praying for him and he had a revelation that this is not going to lead to death. So he prays for his dad and his dad wakes up from the coma. And Peter thinks, surely my dad will now give his life to the Lord because he was in a coma and God woke him up. But nothing. He actually wakes up and he's depressed because he realizes, the father learns that his mind is okay, but his motor skills are lacking. So he actually gets very depressed. And for 3 years, he just lives in depression and he can't get a job. He's in despair and he wants to even kill himself. And Peter is like, what's going on? And then 3 years later, one day, father walks into Peter's room and he says to Peter, hey, Peter, I met Jesus Christ. And Peter is like, what's going on? And the father says, you know what, after that stroke, when I woke up, I never told anyone, but I had these tormenting spirits around my head all the time. And that's why I was depressed and I couldn't sleep and I was in despair. I had these tormenting spirits all around me all the time. And then it says, last night I was in my bed and I woke up because I saw the door open and this light shining and this man walked into my room. And he says, and this man, with a flick of his head, commanded the evil spirits to get out. So he walks into the room and he does one of these motions and all the evil spirits go. And he says to Mr. Ha, the father, hey, don't be afraid. From now on, I'm going to be with you and you're going to be with me. And Mr. Ha's like, who are you? And he says, I am Jesus Christ. And so it wasn't a dream. Like for him, he saw that. So then he basically from that day on, he puts his faith in Jesus Christ. So he tells Peter and Mr. Ha, as he's telling his son Peter, he's like, why would God choose me? Why would God reveal himself to me? I can't do anything. My motor skills, right? So he can't even get a job. He can never become a powerful speaker or a powerful missionary, or he can't even. So the rest of his life, he never did anything. He never became a leader in the church. He never went out and did ministry or anything. He just, for the rest of his life, he enjoyed his relationship with God. And he lived out the rest of his days thanking the Lord for what he had done. And Pastor Benjamin asks us, and we listen to that story and we say, why would God choose Mr. Ha? Why would God reveal himself to Mr. Ha? And then I remember PB asking, but that story begs a bigger question. Why does God choose any of us? Because I think when we hear the story, we think, yeah, you know, we are better than Mr. Ha, in a sense, because we can do stuff. You know, we can serve God. But really, what we can do, it doesn't amount to very much compared to who God is. And yet God still chose us. And the whole point was that God hasn't chosen Mr. Ha because Mr. Ha can serve God in some sort of function. It wasn't so that he can work for him, but it's because of God's love. And why does God choose me and you? It's not because we can serve him and do something, or because he wants us to, you know, do ministry or whatever to pay him back for something. God has just chosen us because he loves us. Just because he wants us to be the object of his affection. And that's what it tells us in verse 5. It says, in love he predestined us for adoption to sonship. It's because of God's love that he predestined us, that he chose us before the creation of the world. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. It's one of these things, it's so basic, right? I think if we've been coming to church for a while, we're like, yeah, God loves me, of course. We joke about that. As Christians, we, as a prophetic church, we joke about how people come up to give a prophetic word and they say, God loves you. As if that was too basic a prophetic word. And we think, come on, everybody knows that. But I think it's so profound, right? God loves you. I think that's such a profound statement that our hearts need to be moved by that. That's probably bad that we joke about that, right? That we just think it's such a light statement, like, oh, Jesus loves you, and we think, oh, come on, can we have something greater than that? But I think that means we just, maybe we, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, so we're so familiar with the truth, and we just kind of ignore it, or we just kind of take it for granted. So I think we need to meditate upon the profound nature of that statement, that God loves me, that in love he predestined me, he chose you to become his sons, to become holy and blameless in his sight. So as Andrew comes and leads us in a song, sorry I went too long, let's just meditate upon these two incredible statements. One, that you have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. In your spirit, you're not lacking anything. Doesn't matter how you feel. Even if you're feeling depressed, oppressed by the enemy, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and we can live in that. So we just have to declare it and keep believing in what God's Word says about us. And secondly, I just pray that our hearts will be moved as we think about this amazing truth that before the creation of the world, He chose me and He chose you. And it is because of love, right? In God's love. Ephesians 2 later on will say, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Right? It's because of His great love for us. So let's think about His great love for me and you. And I pray that our hearts will be moved, that our hearts will be tender to God's love, that we wouldn't just grow hard or cold to this truth, this profound truth that He loves us. So let's go before God.
Yeah.
you, Lord. Yes, God, we praise you just in light of what you have done for us, God, of your every spiritual blessing and for choosing us before the creation of the world, God. We want to thank you. We want to praise you, God. We worship you. Let's go before God together and let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those battling cancer, our radiotherapy, chemotherapy. Let's just pray for God's power to be released in their lives. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for God's power. Let's pray. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for those battling illness, but they're also in need of salvation. Let's pray that God will move in their lives. Let's pray. Let's pray for just various infirmities that our church members are going through. Let's pray for God's power, and let's pray for healing. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray that God would release something powerful and something great for them, that they will be able to find something amazing. Let's pray for encouragement in this time as they're waiting from the Lord. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray first for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for the government. And let's pray for the churches and all the different ministries. Let's pray for God's grace and power and anointing upon the ministries. SSI, that's Sports Services International, they have their basketball camp in August. Let's pray that God would bless them. And we'll pray for Shanti later on so we can... Just pray for all the different ministries that's got stuff going on. Let's pray for the people of Hong Kong to have peace, you know, as they're bothered by the politics and stuff. Let's just pray that just the peace of God will be upon our city and many people here in Hong Kong will come to know Christ. Let's pray for our city. pray for the staff together. Please pray for Pastor Sam as he is away in the States. Let's pray that he would have an amazing time, just really good rest, and he would feel so refreshed and so rejuvenated, a fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit of his love and who he is. So I just pray for Pastor Sam and his family. Pray for the rest of the staff. Thank you for your prayers. Please pray for the families as well of the different staff members. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the worship sound and media team. Pray for the worship team to have a heart of worship and to have a heart of excellence, and for God to bring more musicians that have a real heart of worship to the team. And pray for the sound and media team also for a heart of excellence and for more people, that God would provide more people with a heart to serve in this ministry. So let's pray for our ministry. Let's pray for our arts team, that they would have, there's a lot of creativity, and God would give them great ideas for using art as a way of worshiping God and blessing the church. So let's pray for this arts team, Arts Anonymous. Let's pray for SPLI that's going on over the summer. Tonight is my class, Intro to Old Testament, so please pray for me. But also just pray for the whole time, that the Spirit of God will be there and many people will be blessed through that time. So let's pray for SPLI. Let's pray for Shanti. They're going out for their special needs VBS led by John and Godwin. Let's pray for that. Let's also pray for the youth mission trip that's coming. We're leaving this Friday. Shanti is leaving, I think, tomorrow or Wednesday. Yeah, so let's pray for these two teams going out. We would operate under the anointing of God and for God's protection over us. Let's pray together. Thank you, God. We just give this time to you. We thank you for listening to our prayers. We thank you for who you are. And I pray that we will be able to meditate upon the spiritual truths, God, that we read in Ephesians, God, about your spiritual blessing, about your choosing of us, God, and how we have the Holy Spirit as a deposit. So I just pray, God, all these things will stay in us today as we go throughout our day. Help us to meditate upon you and think about you today. I just pray for your blessing and covering over everybody here, God, that we would have a great day, God, with you, Lord. I just pray your blessing, and we thank you, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.